Chapter 4. God, just thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and the fact that we can find all that we need to live this life that you've called us to in your word. And I pray as we look at this parable that that your son gave 2,000 years ago that we would be able to take some of the old imagery, some of the stuff that we're not too familiar with, farming in Israel and all those things, and be able to apply the principles to our lives today. And I just pray that if there's any distractions that we have that would keep us from truly understanding your word tonight, that you'd help to put those things aside, and that we would just come to you ready to be fed by what your word has to say. Pray this all in your name. Amen. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 4. You know, I had a fun question this week that I want to ask. How did your parents measure your growth? Thanks. Marked on a wall, that's how it happened for me. Like, you put your head up on the wall and they took a pencil and...
A book.
They had a giraffe. You had a giraffe measuring thing? Like a little, I don't know, like a little cardboard thing that they stuck on the wall?
Yeah, it was just like paper, like lemonade.
Uh-huh. The giraffe. Nice. Did you have a giraffe one, Melman?
No, I had an ABC one.
Oh, very, very nice. How'd you get measured, Iris?
I wasn't.
You didn't get measured? See, somebody said that last night, too. That's surprising to me. Because my parents did it all the time, like monthly or something. We had little marks. And because any growth was really exciting. I was just excited when I passed both of my parents in height. Really. I'm taller than both my parents. I know that's hard to believe, but... I sort of did. Although my brother's 5'11", so he's much taller than me. How much have you grown in the past year? In the past, like, since last March? Nothing? Yeah. Me too. Big zero. You've grown a foot?
No.
I was going to say, I think you would have been really small last year. I think I would have remembered that.
I was really small. 4 inches.
Hey.
Break that up. That's an inch about every 3 months. I think we'd be freaking out.
Hannah's getting tall. Do you know how much? Yeah, not that much. I asked the same question at the junior high. They had like, they were like 5, 6, 7 inches because, you know, junior high, you grow a ton. How much has Seth grown this last year? Do you know? A lot. I mean, I think he was shorter than me last year.
Really?
And now he's much taller than me.
Yeah, he's like,
he goes behind stuff and he's
like,
he's
much taller than you.
Yeah. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 4. Open it up. Starting in verse 1. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, I'm going to stop right there and just remind you guys that this is the first parable that we know of that Jesus gave. He spoke in parables a lot throughout his ministry, but this was the first time he had spoken a parable. He had already done lots of teaching with these people, and he had got lots of crowds to come because of the miracles he was doing and the teaching that he was giving, which was really kind of interesting teaching. He gets up and he starts. There's a large crowd, thousands of people, at least hundreds of people, probably thousands of people, and he starts to give them these parables, which are stories that teach a spiritual truth. And this is the first in a long line of actually farming stories that he gives. This is the first farming one he gives. And do you guys remember the reason why he spoke in parables? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Yeah, to weed out the people who didn't really want to know truth as compared to the people who did want to know truth. Because the people that did want to know truth, he told the story and they sought him out and went, what was this about? I want to know what your story was about. Because obviously if you said it, Jesus, it must be important. And then there were lots and lots and lots of people who went, oh, that was a nice story. Who really cares? I don't understand it, but who cares? And so let's look at the story that he says here in verse 3. It says, listen, a farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So he tells this story. He had been teaching and had been engaging people in all this amazing teaching that he had. Jesus was an amazing teacher. And then he gets up, and honestly, we read the story now, and we go, oh yeah, I've heard the explanation that Jesus has given for this story. But understand, they heard this story as just a story. There is no innate spiritual truth in what he's saying here. He's just talking about a farmer who throws out some seed on a bunch of different places, and there's different crops that come up, or different results in those different places. And then he finishes off by basically saying, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. And then he walks away. He's done. We looked at what the path meant. Okay, we've got the picture here of the path. What were some of the characteristics of the path? Hard. Got stepped on a lot, which made it hard. Okay, what happened when the seed fell onto it? It bounced. It didn't penetrate, right? It just bounced off. And so, because it was sitting right there on the top, the birds were like, oh, there's lunch. And they came and ate the seeds. The bad soil, if you remember from verse 13, let's actually look at it. Verse 13, it says, Jesus explaining it now. He says, then he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. So now we know that the seed is the word. And he says, some people are like the seed that are along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. The result is the word comes, it falls on hard soil that does not penetrate, and the seed is taken away. The result of this bad soil is there's no crop. Okay, there's no crop that results. It does not change the person's life. The word is heard, and it's either rejected or ignored, or someone doesn't even put themselves in a position to hear the word. Okay, they just completely reject God's word out of hand. And the result is there's no crop. It does not change their life at all. Okay, then we go on to the rocky places. What is significant about the rocky places? You would think it's got lots of rocks, but we actually saw that what is rocky soil? Rocky soil is... Yeah, it's like a layer of soil. It looks like this. That looks like something you can plant in, right? That's a limestone field right there, which is what they were talking about with rocky soil. There's on the top, there's regular soil, and it looks like you could plant a crop there, and it's good soil. But underneath that is this, which is like concrete. Okay, so what happens is when the seed falls onto the Yeah, but the seed actually penetrates a little bit, right? It penetrates down into a little bit of soil, and it starts to grow, and you see a little seedling come up, okay? And as the roots start to grow, the problem is the roots don't have a place to grow, because there's rock down there. So this plant starts to grow and grow and grow, but it doesn't have enough roots and to get the moisture and get all the nutrients it needs, and so it ends up withering and dying when the sun comes on it. The result, again, with this bad soil, is there's no crop. Okay? The crops die because there's no root. This is the idea of someone who allows God's word to go in a little bit, but it's a shallow kind of faith. Okay, it's not a deep kind of faith. The third kind is thorny soil. And what is significant about thorny soil? Okay, how does it get choked out? The seed penetrates into the soil. Okay, but it's not just the good seed that penetrates, it's also seeds of weeds, of thorns, that are also down in the soil. And this is what he says in verse 18. He says, "Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful." It's the Jesus and kind of mentality that I can take God's word and it can be important to me. It can be a slice of my life that's important, but I also have all these other slices of my life that are just as important as God is, and just as important as God's word is in my life, and something that I pursue just as much as I pursue God's word. I pursue these things just as wholeheartedly. The problem is, and that seems logical, and it seems like a normal way to be a Christian and to live the Christian life is just to go, this is my Christian life, this is my school life, this is my home life, this is my sports life, this is my whatever. And I just have all these different slices of life that are very, very important to me, all of them. The problem with that is those other things are going to choke out this little slice of faith that you have. And the point is with this kind of soil is that the good crop, the good seeds get choked out and they die. The result is no crop, right? Then we get to this last one. This is what we're talking about tonight. Verse 20 says this. Says, "Others like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown." Now we're talking about the good soil. This is what he's trying to draw a contrast to, okay? All the rest are bad soil. They do not produce a crop. This is the one that produces a crop. This is the one that I hope all of you guys are going, this is the soil that I want to be. I want to be the type of soil that God is pleased with and that he desires me to be. And he gives three characteristics of this kind of crop. The first one is they hear the word. It says other like seeds sown in good soil hear the word. The word hear is more like the word listen. Do you guys know what the difference between the word hear and the word listen is? Yes. Hearing is just going, oh, I hear audible sound. Okay, someone's talking, and I can recognize that Nate is talking right now. Listening is you're paying attention. This word actually can be, this Greek word can actually be translated to pay attention to. Okay, so you're paying attention to the word. The problem with the seed that fell on the path, right, is that they heard, right, they heard the audible sound, but they weren't listening, either because they don't care or because they don't want that truth in their life. They just are walled off to it. They hear it, but it doesn't. They're not listening. It doesn't penetrate. And he says, "Listen, the good soil listens to the word, understands the importance of the word." Do you know what they did in the Old Testament when the Bible was read, when the scrolls were rolled out and they read? They all stood up, right? We talked about that a couple series ago. They all stood up. The reason why they stood up every single time, every single time God's word was read. The reason why they stood up is because they went, you know what, that's important. What they're reading is important, and I'm going to stand up because I want to pay attention and show how important that is to me. I sort of wish we had traditions like that now, because although I think they sometimes can just become traditions. But that's the idea, is that we go, this is important to me. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to let it soak in because this is important. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to flip back to Mark 4 at one point. Actually, just stay in Romans 10 for the rest of our time, because that's really the only place that you'll need to be. Romans chapter 10, what page is that on? 775. Starting in verse 16. This is what it says. It says, "But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." The context of what he's talking about here is he's talking about the Israelites, the Jews, and kind of what was going on in their hearts when they were listening to God's word. And Isaiah says in the Old Testament, the prophet in the Old Testament wrote the book of Isaiah, said, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Really questioning the Israelites' hearts and what they were and what they were doing when they heard God's word, whether they were really giving it the respect it deserves. And he finishes that idea with this amazing statement about God's word. It says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." The source of faith, the source of a trusting relationship with God, comes from God's word and nowhere else. That is the source of it. Faith comes from hearing, from listening, it's that same word, listening, paying attention to the message, and that message comes through the word. I've had people ask me honestly, they go, you know, or just make the statement, "I want to trust God more. I want to have more faith. I want to grow in my faith. And I want to just trust God completely with my life." And you know what I say every single time? Get in God's word. That's where faith, that's where this trusting relationship with God comes from, is by pouring over God's word, understanding it, and allowing it to come deep into your life. I knew this guy right out of high school. I met this guy when I was 19. His name was Jimmy. He was a really cool guy, but he was a brand new believer, had just trusted his life to Christ through this other girl that I knew. Kind of that relationship caused that to happen. And brand new believer, awesome guy. The amazing thing about this guy, Jimmy, is that he always had his Bible with him. I have not known anyone in the couple of years that I spent with him and that I was around him, I have not known anyone who, you know, who's a baby Christian, just came to Christ. I have not known anyone who has grown as much in 2 years as that guy, Jimmy, did. He had amazing faith in God after 2 years, and it was because he always had God's word in his hand. It was always in his car when he was at work. He just had it all the time. He just always had it with him. And it wasn't because he was like, "Hey guys, check out, I got my Bible." You know, it's like a badge. He always was in it. He just wanted to have it around because he was always reading it. He was always wanting to understand what it had to say. He was hungry for it. He understood that this book that you guys have in front of you, this book is the thing that is going to transform his life. It's going to transform his relationship he has with this guy who decided to follow his life, to trust his life to, this God. 1 Peter 2:2 has this idea. You can just look up here. It says this. It says, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." What happens when a newborn baby is hungry? What does it do? Cries, right? And it cries, and it keeps crying, and it will not stop crying until it's fed. or it's dead, yes. Hopefully not that. But But Melissa and I always joke. Do you guys know what that babies only really do three things? Anybody know what those three things are? Eat, poop, and sleep, or eat, sleep, and poop. I don't know. Yes, they cry, but they cry because they want to eat, or because they're really tired and they need sleep, or because they went poop. They eat, sleep, and poop. That's what they do. They really don't care about anything else. They don't care about who won the Olympic hockey game, which I'm bummed about that. They don't care whether their onesie is from Old Navy or from Gap. They don't care about anything except eating, sleeping, and pooping. That's the priority for a baby, okay? That's what he's trying to say here, is that we need to have that priority, that we understand that God's word is the thing that is going to sustain us, and really have the perspective that really, what other priority is there except for eating this thing up as much as we can, understanding that this is what's going to help me to grow in respect to salvation. This is what it's about. He's really asking the question, are you hungry? Are you hungry like a baby hungers for food for God's word? That's the call that God has on us. So that's the first thing. Good soil listens to the word. Second thing, and you guys don't have to flip back to Mark chapter 4, it's up here. He goes on, he says, other seed sown on good soil, hear the word, or listen to the word, they accept it, which is the second one, which is the idea of welcoming it. That word actually, the Greek word is actually used in Acts 15 and actually in a couple other places for someone welcoming someone into their home. In Acts 15, it's Paul being welcomed by some people in this town. That like when relatives come, what do you guys do when relatives come that you haven't seen in a long time? What are you supposed to do? What's a good thing to do? You want to welcome them into your home, right? And if they're family that you haven't seen in a long time, maybe you would hug them and maybe you'd get a wet sloppy kiss from your grandma, but you want to welcome them into your house and go, here, stay with us, stay in this room, we're glad you're here, even if you're not glad they're here, but you just say, we're glad you're here. You accept them, you welcome them in. And he says, in the same way, we need to welcome in, we need to accept in deep into our lives God's word. This is the problem with, the accepting part of it is the problem with the rocky soil. Okay, because the rocky soil doesn't allow it to go deep. It allows it to go in, but it doesn't allow it to go deep. And the accepting it part, is the problem with the weedy soil, right? Because the weedy soil does accept God's word, but it also accepts other stuff and other truth and other things that are priorities and other things that are important in their lives and doesn't give God and his word the importance that it should have in their life. So he says, accept it. Back in Romans chapter 10, hopefully you guys still have that open. We're going to go on. So 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing or listening to the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Then he goes on, it says, but I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly said, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. He's talking about a situation here, referring back to a situation again with Isaiah and with the Israelites. And he's asking the question, didn't they hear the message? And the answer is, yeah, they heard the message all the time. Throughout the Jewish people, the word was read all the time. They had festivals for it. They had ceremonies for it. It was read all the time, and they heard it. The point was, he's making here, is they didn't really allow it to penetrate them. And because of that, the middle part there, which is a little bit confusing, and we won't go real deep into it, but because they didn't allow it to go deep in their life, God actually allowed them to be conquered by another nation who didn't revere God, who didn't care anything about God. They were conquered by them. And this is kind of them questioning about that. But he says this, but concerning Israel, this was the deal with Israel. He says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. That God was going, I want you to know me. I want to have a relationship with you. Here, he's holding out his hands going, here, I just want to know you. I just want you to know me. I just want you to understand me and understand my word. And instead, they were disobedient and obstinate. Disobedient means to reject. They rejected God's word. They rejected, that lack of accepting, okay, this is about accepting God's word. They did not accept it. They rejected it. Okay? And rejecting is more than, I don't have good candy. Anybody out, like, now or laters? Anybody? Okay, here we go. I see it, but you can't stand up, so I can't do this with you. You like it? No, come on, Hannah. Okay, so let's say I go to Hannah, okay, and I give her this wonderful now and later that I've been especially wrapped just for you and have been preparing just for you, and I go, here, take the now and later, but you reject it. You go, no.
Just kidding.
Okay.
No, I don't want it.
Okay, so she's rejecting the now and later, right? What if I said, here, take this now and later that I've specially packaged for you, and it's my gift to you. And you didn't say anything, but you just turn around. Go ahead. What is she doing? She's rejecting it, right? She doesn't have to say anything to reject it. She doesn't have to push me away. She doesn't have to punch me and go, no, I don't want your darn now and later. She's still rejecting it, right? Because she's ignoring me. She's not paying attention to me. She's not accepting what I'm giving her. But instead, I can go, here's my beautiful now and later that I packaged for you, and I'm giving it to you now. And she can accept it, okay? It's the same idea with this word disobedient. It's not necessarily the fact that they hated God, that the Israelites were like, God, I reject you. I don't want you. They actually, most of them went, we love you, God. We want you. But instead, they ignored his word, which is disobedience. They rejected their word in action and in their lives. They were disobedient. And they were obstinate, which obstinate just means you're resistant to change. Resistant to change. This is our problem too when we hear God's word. I think this is our primary problem when we hear God's word. Either we go, I totally reject it. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to hear that. Or we listen to it and we sit through it and we're like, okay, I'm listening to God's word. I'm reading God's word. I'm doing 15-minute devotion in the morning and reading it. But you put it away and you don't care about it. You're like, I'm not really going to listen to that. Which is also rejecting it. Or we go, man, I really see the need for that, and I really understand that truth. But if I really allow that truth to go deep into my life, that's going to require change of me. And I'm pretty comfortable the way I am. I'm pretty comfortable with life the way it is. And I don't want it to change. If I really allow God's word, this word that I'm studying, to go deep into my heart, things are going to have to change. I don't want things to change. Obstinance. Resistance to change. Good soil accepts God's word deep and allows it to do its work. Now, once the word is accepted, or the word is heard, listened to, and accepted, it says others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, or listen to the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown. My grandpa, if you guys remember from a couple weeks ago, is a farmer. He's an alfalfa farmer, which is hay. So my grandpa out there farming, he lays out the alfalfa seed. He tills the ground, lays out the alfalfa seed, covers it up, allows it to be the water to fall on it. Does my grandpa, when an alfalfa seed, does my grandpa do anything to get that alfalfa seed to come out of the sprout and for it to come up and bloom? Does he do anything? He doesn't do that. Happens on its own, right? He's done the work. The work is he's made it so the seed can go deep. He's allowed it to be in an environment where it can grow, and you know what? It grows on its own. The production of the crop, that's the great thing about farming, the great principle about farming, the crop comes when you do the right things to prepare the seed for the crop. It's the same thing for us. If we allow God's word to go deep, if we listen to it, pay attention to it, and allow it to go deep and accept it in our lives, the righteous crop that comes out of that, the life-changing crop that comes out of that will just come. You will be changed if you pay attention to it and allow it to go deep into your life. You will be changed. And the interesting thing is you won't just be changed in a small way. If I had really good soil, okay, out in front of me here, and I took 10 alfalfa seeds, and I planted 10 alfalfa seeds up here, okay, and those started to grow, how many alfalfa sprouts would I have? 10, right? Because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 10 seeds, 10 sprouts. Now, if I allowed those sprouts to grow and to mature, and I didn't cut them down, what would happen? They would start to sprout, they would come, and then they would actually have seeds that come out of the top, and those seeds would pop and burst, and they would fall on the soil, and then I would have how many plants? A lot. And then what if I allowed those to grow up and to grow and for them to grow into seed? What'd you say? More and more and more and more and more. And that's his point here. And they would have understood this. Remember, the people he was talking to, these were farming people. Okay? They were an agrarian society, which means they lived on these farming principles. Okay? They understood this stuff. It produces a crop some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown. He's not saying that there's going to be 30 plants or 60 plants or 100 plants, but 30, 60, 100 times what you've originally sown. It's the same way with the word. That's the amazing thing about the word. As you allow it, if you accept God's word and allow it to come into your life, and you let it penetrate you, and you go, that's the truth, that is what I need, and I want it in my life. It will not only change, that truth alone will not only change you, but it will start to build this crop of righteousness in your life that will be way, way, way beyond that one faithful act of going, God, penetrate me with your word. Allow your word to change me. It will start to pervade your life with a crop of Christ-likeness and God-following. It'll change you in ways that you never even imagined that simple act of allowing God's word to penetrate you would. And he says this idea earlier in Mark chapter 4. This is when he was talking about what a parable's all about. And he says this statement. It says, those who have will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And he finishes that statement by saying, those who don't have, even what they have, will be taken away. But this is talking about the good soil. This is talking about those who accept God's word into your life. Those who have will be given more, and they will have in abundance. God wants to do that in your life. Do you know how that happens? That's a plane somewhere in the Midwest, I'm guessing. That's not someone's farming field. That's just a plane. Do you know how a plane like that happens? We have planes sort of similar to this in Nevada, although Nevada is a desert. But it's the stuff called cheatgrass, which is like a weed. But it looks kind of like this. And what happens is, that didn't happen by someone coming out and planting a whole bunch of seeds out in the middle of nowhere. That happened because there were some seeds that were planted that grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and more seeds and more seeds and more seeds, and it became this huge field of plant, whatever that is. That probably is cheatgrass too, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Okay? That's what God wants to do in your life. And it takes such almost a simple and simplistic idea. And that's just going, you know what? God, I want to be open to what your word says. I'm not going to let it go in one ear and out the other. I'm not going to reject it. I'm not going to turn away from it. I'm going to allow it to go deep and to change me. And God will use that to do that in your life. But that will look like righteousness. Like right living in your life. I call that on the grow. I got that term from an old pastor I had, and I liked that idea. That the Christian life is not one where we're going to be perfect, right? We all know that. We're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. But the mark of a Christian walk, of a true Christian walk, is someone who's on the grow, who's allowing God's word to penetrate them, and that crop is starting to grow and starting to multiply. That's the mark of a believer, is that on the grow process. And so my question to you guys is are you on the grow? And that's at the bottom of your handout. And the answer to that is if so, awesome. Continue to allow God's word to work in you and to be changed. But if not, then you need to ask yourself, am I spending time listening to God's word? Am I spending time in God's word? Am I spending enough time in God's word? And not only am I spending time in God's word, because again, you can spend, 15 minutes a day every morning, open up your Bible, read a paragraph, and there'd be no penetration. So the second question is, are you accepting God's word into your heart? And are you accepting God's word, the word that you are listening to, are you accepting it? Are you allowing it to penetrate you? On Wednesday night when we get together, it's a great start. We study God's word every time, and you guys know it's all about God's word for me. That's why I want you guys to be here. We do other stuff, but the focus is definitely getting into God's word. Are you allowing it to penetrate you? Are you just kind of going through the motions? Second question at the bottom there is, how could your heart and mind be a better field for God to farm? How could your heart and mind be a better field for God to farm? And then what are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? I'll give you guys just a couple minutes to fill in at least one or two of those. God, just thank you again for your word. Thank you for this this parable and this truth. God, we do want your word to go deep into us. We want to be people who are paying attention to your word and not really paying attention to necessarily even what people say about your word or neat Christian ideas, but that we're spending time listening to your word and allowing your word to penetrate us. Because we know that's the seed that is gonna create just a different life for us, and we want that life. We want that life that looks more and more like your son all the time. Thank you that this is the way your word works, and that it is the thing that does build faith in us. It is the thing that does transform us into people that love like you did. Into people who just look like you, and we want to be that. We want to be that with the people we're around all the time, with our friends, and we just want to show your love and your character to them. Just pray as we go to our SWAT groups that you would allow us to make this practical and to really just kind of be honest with where we're at, where we have been at, and where we maybe need to grow, and help us to really take practical steps to make this real for us. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Let's go to SWAT groups.